April 11, 12, and 13 will prove to be a phenomenal time in Indianapolis. It's going to be IBC Music Fest. For more information, visit ibcmusicfest.com. Welcome back to the Indiana Bible College podcast, where we are training tomorrow's apostolic leaders today. Also today with us, we have Brother Thomas Dibble from the New England area, pastor and parent of one of our students here. And he was in town and able to preach a message in chapel called Between the Calling and the Choosing.
Praise the Lord, everyone. Why don't we just take a moment and praise Him together? He's good. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. How great you are, God. Oh, how great you are, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 There's nobody like you, Jesus. You're the only true and living God. We adore you today. We exalt you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 We humbly confess our need of you today. Without you, we can't do it, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. It is so good to be here. Indiana Bible College and chapel with you all today. See all your smiling, well-rested faces. Probably not, right? Praise God. But it's good to be here, most of all in the presence of the Lord. Praise God. I count it an honor to be here, and many of the leadership and instructors, professors in this school I hold in high regard. Quite frankly, would rather listen to them this morning. I had a nice little message all picked out for today. It was going to be great. You know, we would have got out on time. Everybody would have rejoiced. It would have been wonderful. And then Friday, this past Friday, came along, and the Lord started to deal with me a little bit. And has anybody ever fought with God? Started to fight a little bit. No, Lord, that can't be what you want me to talk about. Certainly not. And Saturday came. I got up real early and was at the church just after 5 and started doing a little more study. And the Lord was putting the pressure on me even more. No, God, that can't be. And so I decided I'm just going to get in the car and go for a drive just to get away from, you know, the study. And I turned on the radio, gospel station. I can't remember what the Sirius station is, Christian music. And every song, I'm not lying, every song. I even changed it to the Southern Gospel Station, folks. And still, every song kept driving me back to this topic. So if you have your Bibles, Matthew, one verse of Scripture, Matthew chapter 22 and verse number 14. Again, it's so good to be here. Have a couple of days to see my daughter, my favorite daughter. She's my only daughter. Be with her, see my nephew Eric. I can't see with these lights here. Where's Eric? There he is in the back. Why are you sitting in the back, Eric? Holy cow, you knew I was going to be here today. Man. And to see Alex Perry from our district. It's good to see you. Praise God. Matthew 22 and verse number 14. Short verse of Scripture. I'm breaking my own preaching rule by not giving context here, but for sake of time, just let me read it. For many are called, but few are chosen. For many are called, but few are chosen. I want to talk to you this morning on this simple subject between the calling and the choosing. Between the calling and the choosing. You can be seated this morning. We've all heard of stories and perhaps have seen it played out in our own lives where that shy person or the one who is not as good as everybody else or is not as popular is chosen last for the baseball team or the basketball team or whatever you're participating in. Nobody likes being picked last. Nobody likes the feeling that you are not one that is wanted on the team. In the home that I grew up in, I was the youngest of four children. I was the oops at the end of a long line. And so I was the smallest. And on the street that I lived on, that we grew up on, I was the youngest kid on the block. And so when it came time to play baseball or wiffle ball or kickball or whatever we were doing, I was always the last one to be picked. That aggravated me to no end. That really ticked me off. I was fast. Not anymore. But I was fast. And my nickname when I was growing up, my dad would call me Bones. I've filled out some since then. But back then, I was fast. I couldn't catch worth a lick or, you know, hit very good. But I thought, surely I should be picked before the last person. And so it made me mad. It aggravated me. And so I set out to get better. We lived in a big two-story brick house, and for hours and hours every day, I would be out there throwing a tennis ball against the side of the house. I practiced pitching, and out there in my world, I was quite the pitcher. In fact, I led my team to several World Series wins and struck out the side in the last inning of the last game of the World Series. I was quite a pitcher out there. I began to practice fielding grounders, and I practiced fielding pop flies. And in the beginning, I would throw them just kind of out of my reach. I would throw them against the top of that brick side of the house there, and I would run back and try to catch the ball, and it would just be out of my reach. But I kept on trying, and I kept fielding grounders, and they were just out of my reach, and I would try my best to get over there and get it. But you know what? Pretty soon, I started diving and catching those ground balls, and pretty soon, I started catching those pop flies. I did all of this in an effort to be chosen. And you know what? Later on in school, I was chosen for the baseball team. And it just so happens that I scored the winning run in extra innings for our school, West Side, in our first ever city championship that we won. And my name was in the paper the next day. The title of the article was, Dibble Scores the Winning Run. Like, yeah. It was in extra innings, and they brought in another pitcher, and my coach said, be careful, he just pitched the other day, he's probably kind of tired. And so I got in, and I crowded the box a little bit, the plate a little bit, and sure enough, the first pitch came inside, and instead of jumping back, I turned into the pitch and got hit right in the back leg and limped down to first base. I was rubbing my leg and called timeout, and I rubbed my leg, and the coach is getting ready to take me out, and I said, coach, I'm fine. I'm going to steal second base. And so the very next pitch, I stole second base. The next pitch, they knew I wasn't faking anymore. I stole third base. And the very next pitch, the ball got away from the catcher and rolled away just a little bit, and I was off down the third base line, head first slide across home plate. We had won the city championship. The whole team came around and mobbed me, and the whole school was there. Teachers were there, and they literally picked me up and carried me off of the field and all the way back to the team bus I was riding high. I had finally been chosen. We got back to the school, and they planned a big celebration, a big party, and everybody's cheering, and I'm kind of standing off to the side thinking, I really don't belong here. I have to find a way out. Come on, Dibble, get over here. Come on. And I stayed around as long as I could, kind of hanging out on the fringes of what was going on. And then I slipped off, and I ran with all my gear all the way home. You see, we had a district rally that night. And my parents were at home waiting to go and waiting for me to get ready. And so I got home. I burst through the door and proclaimed my greatness to everyone who would listen. And all I got was, hurry up and get ready. We're about to be late for church. But my name is going to be in the paper tomorrow. Doesn't matter. We're going to church tonight. I did all of that just so I could be chosen. But in the kingdom of God, it has always been a whosoever will way. There is an open door policy in the kingdom of God. Now, don't misunderstand what I just said. I didn't say you could get into the kingdom of God by doing whatever you want to do or by believing whatever you want to believe. I didn't say you could get into the kingdom wearing any old wedding garment you want to throw on. But the invitation into the kingdom of God is to whosoever will. Anybody that wants to get in can do what it takes to get into the kingdom of God. It doesn't matter what your past is. It doesn't matter if you're popular or not. It doesn't matter how good looking you are. It doesn't matter what family you come from. It doesn't matter how much talent or ability you have. This is a whosoever will way, and God has a calling on your life today. God has purposed you to be here this year at Indiana Bible College because there's something that He sees in you that's worthwhile, that He can use in the kingdom of God. He could have caused 100 different things to keep you away from here today, but He allowed you to be here. He allowed you to go through a little adversity and a little struggle to make it here, and you're here because God has a calling on your life. Can I tell you, it's not your talent and it's not your charisma. It's not your good looks or popularity and it's not your ability. But God is looking for an individual who will get in right standing with Him and know how to walk with Him in the good days and in the bad days. God is looking for an individual that's willing to persevere and press just a little bit and get into the flow of His Spirit and be willing to ride things out when everything is going fine and when nothing is going fine. God is looking for an individual who's not playing around on the fringes of right and wrong, but one that's sold out completely and committed to Him whatever calling the Lord has placed on your life. You might have to give up some things to pursue a calling. You might have to lay some things aside to pursue and go after a calling. But there's something that happens between the calling and the choosing. Yes, you are called into the kingdom of God for such a time as this. Yes, you are called to come into the kingdom of God, but there's a process that must take place before you are chosen. I'm preaching this morning between the calling and the choosing. When I was younger and in Bible school, we thought we had it all figured out. We had this one deal, the Preacher's Club. I heard Brother Sargent was here in the chapel. he was in my wedding, and we were good friends, and we had the preacher's club, a couple of us, and so Kevin Knutson, he was in charge of preaching moves. You know, you gotta have the right moves when you preach. And so we would practice this one move where you kind of throw your hand out and make your point, and your leg goes back here. And we want everybody to be prepared. It was just a joke, but so he was in charge of preaching moves, and I was in charge of voice influctuation. You have to know how to use your voice when you're preaching, and you have to use the right tone when you're talking to God. And so I was in charge of voice inflection and coming up with sermon titles. I'm preaching from Louis Lamar's latest book, Utah Blaine, Don't Shoot Till You See the Whites of Their Eyes. But we had the preacher's club. We would sit around and consider all the popular preachers. You know, the ones that preached all the big conferences. And you know, the ones that could sway the crowd and get everybody on their feet. The ones who would come along and prophesy, have the crowd eating out of their hand. We would say, I want to preach like that. If only I could be that kind of a preacher. Some popular singer would come through and sing at the church, and we would all say, I want to sing like that. If only I could sing like that, and everybody for the next few weeks would be singing like that particular individual. A great teacher would come through, and we would all say, I would love to be able to teach like that. If only I could teach like that. But what we all failed to realize is there's some work and there's some effort that went into being able to preach like that. And there's some work and there's some effort and some study that went into being able to teach like that or sing like that. It didn't just happen, but there were some things that they went through and gave up and put aside to get where they were. There's something that happens between the calling and the choosing. It's funny, though, that all around us we had men and women who were the support staff of the college and church who made everything work. These were the men and women who held everything together. These were the men and women who most people did not even know their names. Without these men and women, there would be no college and there would be no church. But none of us were saying, someday I want to be able to serve like that. I'm not talking about serving when everybody's watching. I'm not talking about serving to get extra credit and have everybody say, my, what a good young man or what a good young lady that is. But I'm talking about serving when nobody is watching. I'm talking about doing the jobs that nobody else wants to do. None of us were saying, I want to learn how to pray like that. I'm not talking about the kind of praying where we are commanding God what to do and giving Him His instructions for the day. I'm not talking about the kind of praying that we do in front of everybody else and where we pray loud enough for everybody to hear what we're saying to show everybody how spiritual we are. And the scripture tells us if you do that, you already have your reward. Somebody heard you. But I'm talking about the kind of praying where God is doing open heart surgery in our lives, where God opens up our heart and sees us on the inside, and he begins to change our motives and desires. Can I tell you, heart surgery is not done with a lot of fanfare. There's not a lot of people around when they're doing heart surgery, cheering everybody on, saying, oh yeah, you're doing a great job. You're there by yourself. You're on the table. God is reaching into your heart, and he's doing a work on the inside of you. None of us were saying, I want to learn to fast like that. I'm not talking about the kind of fasting where we're fasting to try to twist God's arm to get him to do what we want him to do. I'm not talking about the kind of fasting where we're fasting to try to make our voice heard on high. If I fast, then God is going to move my request up to the top of the list. If I fast enough days, surely I can get his attention and he'll look down on me and do what I want him to do. But I'm talking about the kind of fasting where we are trying to hear from God. We're not trying to make him hear us, but we are trying to hear from God. What are you saying to the church, dear Lord? I'm talking about the kind of fasting where the bands of wickedness are loosed, the kind of fasting where heavy burdens are undone, the kind of fasting where the oppressed go free and where every yoke is destroyed. Isaiah 58 gives us what God considers to be real fasting, and those are the indications when real fasting is going on. The yokes are undone and destroyed. The burdens are lifted. The bands of wickedness are loose in a particular area. That's the kind of fasting that God says gets his attention. The Israelites came along and they said, why aren't you listening to us, God? We've prayed. We've made our first voice to be heard on high. We've fasted, but you're not paying attention to any of it. He said, this is the kind of fasting that I've chosen. Nobody was saying, I want to learn to study like that. I'm not talking about the study you do for your classes. I'm not talking about the kind of study where you're cramming for a test. I'm not talking about the kind of study you do before you preach a message or teach a Bible study. But I'm talking about the kind of study where we just desire to know the Lord Jesus Christ. The kind of study where we get lost in the Word of God because it's so rich and so full. The kind of study that when you go to Brother Kilman's office and he shows you a book, he says, this is a good book I've been reading. It's got 532 sticky notes coming out of different pages of the book. The kind of study where you can't hardly put it down and you can't wait to get back to it again. I'm trying to tell you that there's a difference between the calling and the choosing. Everybody is called into the kingdom of God. Whosoever wills can enter the kingdom if you do the right thing. Things and you put the right garment on. But there's something that happens between the calling and the choosing. I was reading a book probably about 20 years ago or so. In this book, the writer was recounting something that had happened in his life. He tells the story of how he graduated from college, from Bible school, a large, large Bible school. A wise preacher pulled him aside and told him, many of the people that are in your large graduating class, 10 years from now, after they've entered full-time ministry, after they said, yeah, we're going to turn the world upside down, many of those you've graduated with 10 years from now, 20 years from now, will no longer even be in ministry. He couldn't believe it. And so he writes how he decided he was going to keep track of his classmates. And he wrote the names of every one of those graduating seniors down in the front of his Bible, in the first pages of his Bible, so he could keep track of them. And he wrote their names down. And whenever he heard that one of them left the ministry, he would just cross that name out. He was sure it was only going to be one or two that he ever did cross out. But over time, over the years, he would cross one name out after another until at the writing of this particular book, he had crossed out all but three names, one of them his own. I graduated college in 1990 with a large graduating class of 22, all headed into full-time ministry of some kind. Everybody was going to change the world, but today, nearly half of the class no longer even serve God, let alone are in ministry of any kind. Some have been deceived, and they no longer preach the truth of the Word of God that's being poured into your hearts and lives every day. Some have walked away from the holiness message and have watered down the Word of God, and they've changed things that they used to believe. Some traded ministry for making money and chasing after a career. Some no longer even believe that there is a God. So go ahead. Look around you this morning. Take a look. Go ahead and look. Look around this sanctuary today. Who wants to volunteer to be deceived? Chances are, I wish it weren't so, but chances are not everybody in this sanctuary is going to make it. So look around. Which one of you want to volunteer to be deceived? Who wants to volunteer to take the wrong road and begin preaching false doctrine? Who wants to volunteer to trade holiness for a do-it-your-own-way message? Who wants to volunteer to be lost today? But wait a minute, I was called. I had a calling on my life. I was called to be a great preacher. I was called to be a great missionary. I was called to be a great singer, a great musician, a great soul winner. But can I tell you, there's something that must happen in your life to bring you from the place of the calling to the place where you are chosen by God. Maybe instead of being great, we should instead consider just letting God be great and letting Him increase in your life and you decreasing more and more. So when people see you, all they see is Him. I'm sorry to be so heavy today. I wish I could make y'all laugh and jump and shout. But this is what God put on my heart. I'm all for education. Get all the education that you can. But can I tell you that just knowing about God is not enough? Just knowing about the Bible is not enough. There's a difference between having head knowledge and having heart knowledge. What you know up here has got to get down here if you're going to make it in this day that we live in. If you really know God, you're not going to be deceived by false doctrine. You'll not be deceived by every wind of doctrine that is blowing today. Can I tell you, this great falling away that the Scripture talks about that happens in this last day is not happening out in the world, but it's happening among people who know the truth. The only way you can fall away from something is if you at one time had it. We must know our God so well so we are not deceived. Let me give you an example. We know God doesn't change, right? You've covered that in one of your theology classes, no doubt. God doesn't change. What does it say in the Word of God? For I am the Lord, I change not. And then he adds another little phrase in there. Therefore, because of that, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. If I did change, I'd wipe you out. That's what he's saying. If I could change, I'd get rid of you, the whole bunch of you, and start over again. But he said, I change not. So if someone comes along and tells you that you can change God's mind in prayer, and you can change what God intended to do and make something else happen, if you know God, if you know the true nature and character of God, you'll know right off the bat that's not true. That's not right, because I know God doesn't change. So prayer is an opportunity for you to get in step with what he is already doing. Prayer is an opportunity that he gives you to be involved in his plan. Now, sometimes you'll pester God long and hard enough that he'll just give you what you want. But the scripture says with it comes leanness of soul. Somebody says, yeah, what about the Abraham praying for Sodom and Gomorrah story? What's that all about? God changed his mind. I've heard messages preached, and excuse me if I'm off base here, you just tell me to sit down and I will. I've heard messages preached about how Abraham's prayer changed God's mind. Did he? Or does the scripture say in Genesis 18 and 25, I believe it is, shall not the judge of the whole earth do right? It was always God's intention to save the righteous. Abraham was just given an opportunity by God to be involved with what God already wanted to do. Abraham's revelation of God was increased by going through that encounter. He comes through that and he says, my, I serve a just God. He's not willing that even one would perish. So why do we go to God in prayer and say, oh God, please save my brother. Oh God, please save my father or my mother. Who cares more about the lost, you or God? Who went to Calvary's cross, you or God? He already wants to save them. Why don't we pray instead, God, what can I do? What do you want me to do so that I can see my loved one saved? Because we don't want to do it. We would rather let God be responsible for it. Come on, is there some soul winner in the sanctuary today that knows it takes something to reach a lost person? You don't just go by one time and throw a track at them and say, I did my best. I did everything I could do. I told them about Jesus. I gave them the track. I invited him to church. You may have to get down there in the mud and the muck and the mire with them. God may put it on your heart. Yeah, you can do something to save that person. You can do something to see that they are saved. But it might cut into your basketball time. It might cut into your sleep time. I know you get precious little of that already. It might cut into your time when you want to be doing something else. I'm sorry. I got to move on. I'm preaching this morning between the calling and the choosing. Please hear me today. This is a great time of your life. There is so much available to you today for the spreading of the gospel. Technology is increasing every day. The real reason I came to visit my daughter, Kara, is so she could show me a couple other things on my phone, what I can be doing with that thing. I don't hardly know how to do anything but make a call, but when I hang around Kara, I said, did you know you could do this? Your phone will fry you up an omelet in the morning and have it ready for breakfast. Didn't you know that, Daddy? I mean, are you living under a rock or something? Your Bible school days will be some of the best days of your life. I'm not telling you not to have fun. Have all the fun you can have. My daughter can tell you stories about the fun that I've told her about that I had when I was in Bible school. I probably had a little too much fun. So have all the fun you can have. Have all the fun you can pack in. But at chapel time, make sure you get serious with God. Don't be thinking about taking a nap. Don't be thinking about playing basketball. Don't be thinking about something else when it's time to get into the house of God and get serious with God. Have all the fun you can have. Do everything you can pack in. But when it's time to get serious, make sure you know how to get serious with God, because there's a difference between the calling and the choosing. You can't be in the process if you don't show up for class. I'm sorry. You can't be in the process if you sleep till noon every day. You're here for a reason. God's called you here for a reason. I went to school with a young man right across the hallway from me. I was walking out for class one morning, and he had a hard time waking up for class. And one of our instructors, Brother Dugas, was in the room with him, and I could hear him. And he said, so-and-so, I almost said his name. He's a preacher today. He's a pastor of a church. So-and-so, why can't you get up for class in the morning? Brother Dugas, I want to get up. I really do. But there's spirits that are keeping me in bed. There's foul spirits here that are keeping, I want to get up for class. And he called them by name, and I'll never forget it. He said, no, that's not it at all. You just have to set your alarm clock. You want to get up? Just set that bad boy before you go to bed at night, and you can get up in the morning if you want to. You can't be in the process if all you do is work on your ping pong game or your jump shot. I love ping pong, don't get me wrong. I love to play basketball, don't get me wrong, though nowadays I need oxygen when I play. You can't give yourself to this process if all you do is other things and you don't give yourself to learning everything that God is trying to teach you while you're here. You can't be in the process and your favorite class be lunch. You can't be in the process if all you do is have fun and you don't know how to seek the face of God when it's time to get serious. Thank you, Lord. So the story's told in the book of Matthew chapter 12, Mark chapter 3, Luke chapter 8. Same story. Jesus is in the house. It's a great multitude of people there, and the house is full. So there Jesus is. He's ministering to the people. The Bible says Jesus' mother, his kinsmen, his brothers, come. And they're standing outside. They've traveled some distance with a desire to see Jesus. They got to the house and it was full because of the press, and they couldn't get in, so they stood on the outside looking in. Well, somewhere along the line, somebody gets word to Jesus. Hey, Jesus, your mother and your kinsmen, brothers and sisters, they're outside and they're desiring to see you. And it seems like Jesus just kind of blows them off. That's where we pick up the story here in Matthew 12 and verse number 48. It says, but he answered and said unto him that told him, who is my mother? And who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples, not just the 12, but everybody who'd gathered in around. He stretches forth his hand to his disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and my sister and my mother. So the question is, who is my mother? And who is my brother? And who is my sister? The answer that Jesus gives is those who do the will of God. Not those who think about doing the will of God, but those who do the will of God. Not those who try to do the will of God, but those who do the will of God. Not those who put out a good effort, but those who actually did what had to be done to get in here to see me today. He said, when he asked that question, he was saying, somebody put forth the effort to get in here. Somebody is sitting at my feet. I'm sorry if you got pushed outside. I'm sorry if you didn't get here fast enough, but somebody made the effort to get in here to see me today. Somebody got a seat. Somebody knew it was going to be crowded today. And they said, I'm going to get up extra early. I'm going to make sure I'm not late for class. I'm going to get up extra early and put the effort in to show God, I really do care about you choosing me. I value this calling that you placed on my life, and I want to go through the process and get to the place where you choose me. How important is it for you, Zacchaeus, to see Jesus today? Is it important enough for you to climb up into a sycamore tree? Can I tell you, there were those that were standing behind that never put forth the effort to get in to see Jesus that day. How important is it that you get your friend to the Lord Jesus for healing today? Important enough for you to tear up the roof because the house is full? Important enough for you to get up there to put the effort in? Important enough that same kind of crowd that kept Mary and his kinsmen on the outside did not stop the four that carried that man sick of the palsy. We're going to get in here somehow. We're going to get his attention somehow. How important is it for you, woman with the issue of blood, sick for 12 years, for you to get out and touch Jesus? Can I tell you, she could have stayed at home and said, you know, I really do want to see him, but he's not coming by my way today. She said something welled up inside of her. I don't know if he's going to be able to help me or not, but I'm going to get to where he is. If he's not coming by my way, I'm going to get to where he is. If he's not walking down my aisle right now, I'm going to get to where he is and reach out and touch the hem of his garment. How important is it for you, blind Bartimaeus, for Jesus to hear you today? I know you know this, but you've got a great opportunity. You're a part of a great church while you're here in Indianapolis. So how important is it for you to get to church each week? When my son Blake came here to Bible school, I remember telling him, don't you dare miss a church service. Don't you dare miss out. Now, please don't tell me if he did. I think highly of him, sir. Just put it under the rug. It's under the blood, brothers. I told him, don't you dare miss out on any opportunity that comes your way. You get involved in everything you can. You do whatever you can do to make yourself useful in the kingdom of God. Learn every lesson you can learn from how that church operates. Involve yourself. Put yourself in there. Let yourself be used. Put yourself out there. So how important is it for you to get to church each week? Got to get a ride. It's a little difficult. I got up late. Everybody's gone. I've been to places and I've seen people that have walked for 3 days just to get to one single church service. Didn't have shoes on their feet. They did whatever they had to do to get to the house of God. So how important is it for you to get to church each week? How important is it for you to have an encounter with Jesus today? I know you're tired. I don't even know what time it is. I'm sorry if I'm messing things up. How important is it for you to touch God today? Musicians, go ahead and come. That'll give somebody hope that I'm about ready to close. So who is my mother? Who's my brethren? It's not those that put a good effort in. It's those who actually do it. It's not those who talk about going to class. It's those that actually show up. It's not those that talk about winning souls. It's those that actually go out with their eyes open and they look and they say, Jesus, would you help me to see like you see? Would you help me to see what you see, dear Lord? Help me to win a soul for you, dear God. And then they put themselves in the harvest. The best place to see the harvest is right in the middle of the harvest, not from your ivory tower looking down saying, those poor people, I wish somebody would tell them about Jesus. But you get passionate about winning souls for God, you're going to get down in the muck and the mire with those souls. I'm not even half done with my notes, so let me just give up. I just came by to tell you there's a difference between the calling being chosen. It's a process you go through. The Rodenbush, when they started worship, I watched everyone kind of surge up to the front here. I saw it in their faces. I saw it in their eyes. I saw it in the passion with which you begin to reach out to the Lord. God's dealing with some of your hearts. He's tugging on some of your hearts today. I wish I could have come in here and just preach a nice flowery little message and stirred y'all up and sent you on to your class. But God's dealing with some of your hearts today. I saw the passion that was in expressed on your face when you begin to reach out to the Lord in worship. Don't ever lose that. Don't ever stop being hungry. Don't ever stop being thirsty for more of the Lord. So I wonder today, there's somebody that wants to be chosen. You got two choices. Just be in the crowd or say, God, I want you to choose me. I want to do what's necessary to get chosen. I wonder today, is there somebody that you feel it in your heart? You feel a passion. I want to go through the process. I don't want to check out of the process when it gets difficult. I don't want to cash in when I'm facing a tough time, but I want to persevere through. I want to be one that you choose. I'm making myself available here, God. I don't have to be the one in the spotlight. I don't have to be the one that's out in front everywhere, but I'm just telling you, God, I make myself available to you today. Come on, all over the sanctuary, let's begin to reach out to the Lord. It's great to be called. You're here because you have a calling. Don't ever doubt that. I don't care where you come from. I don't care what your background is. I don't care what your last name is. You're here because you were called. You're here because God thinks you're worthwhile. But there's a difference between the calling and the choosing, and you've got to persevere for God to choose you. Come on, let that cry. Let it well up from the inside. Let it come from deep inside. Show God how serious you are to be chosen. I'm going to do what it takes. I'm going to find a place of prayer. I'm going to get into the Word of God. I'm going to do those spiritual disciplines that will help me get closer to you. Not so I can pat myself on the back and say I did it, but oh God, I'm hungry for you. Come on, all over the sanctuary. Let's turn this sanctuary into one big altar call today. Oh, God.
Holy Spirit, break us. Come and overtake us. You're the one we're living for. Holy Spirit, lead us to your heart, oh Jesus. There is nothing we want more. Holy Spirit, break us. Come and overtake us. You're the one we're living for. Holy Spirit. Spirit, lead us to your heart, oh Jesus. There is nothing we want more. Oh, Holy Spirit, break us. Come and overtake us. You're the one we're living for. Holy Spirit.
Music Fest is a conference designed to challenge and inspire those involved in church music and worship arts ministry. You can head over to www.ibcmusicfest.com and register.